Hello, I'm Derek Walker, the pastor of the Oxford Bible Church, and today I want to share two miracles of Jesus that are designed to show not just that he's the Son of God, but to teach us principles of our spiritual life. In particular, two miracles on the Sea of Galilee, which reveal how we can walk in victory over the power of sin, Satan, and circumstances. The title of this message is Going Over, Not Under. You know, God has called us to be overcomers who go over and not under. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome every enemy, every opposition, and he rose from the dead victoriously, and he lives in you. Greater is he that's in you through the Holy Spirit than he that's in the world. And 1 John 5 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Through our faith in Christ, we are overcomers. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, our first miracle was crossing the other side of Galilee through a supernatural storm when Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. And we're in Mark chapter 4. It says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's go over to the other side. Notice he said, let us go over. And this was on the same day as the parable of the sower. When Jesus gave them the key to spiritual fruitfulness and power, he said, the key is how we receive the word, the quality of the soil. The word, you see, is like the seed. And if we let it get planted in our hearts and put down strong roots, it will produce great results. But if it's not planted very well, then when the storms of affliction come, it will fail to produce. And so now was the test time for the disciples. And what we'll see is it's not what you know mentally that counts, but what you have received in your heart so that you embrace it and put it into practice. That's what counts. And Jesus had given them now a word of victory. And it's going to be opposed by Satan. The word is, let us go over to the other side. I want you to notice the characteristics of God's word. First of all, it's always sent for a purpose, to accomplish something, to reach a destination, the other side. God has a job for them to do on the other side, and that's in Mark 5, to break a key stronghold of Satan there, the Gadarene demoniac. And through that, it would get the whole gospel into this new region of Gentile territory. Once this man was delivered, who was very famous for how badly he was possessed, he went round the whole region sharing his testimony and talking about Jesus. So when Jesus visited that region again, thousands of people came to see Jesus and be healed. And that's when he fed the 4,000. And that's why Satan tried to stop them cross to the other side. And so in the same way, when we're doing God's will in our life, that will involve some spiritual warfare and opposition. And the first key to our victory is knowing God's word and holding on to God's word to us. He says to us, let us go over to the other side. Notice also, God's word also has that us factor. He says, let us go over. It doesn't say you go over the other side. He says, I'll be with you. Let us go to the other side. Let's go together. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will always be there to help you. The Lord is your helper. Therefore, do not fear. When God tells you to do something, it's always with the understanding that he is with you to help you do it. This makes all the difference when we hit trouble. You see, it was God with Jesus that enabled him to victoriously marched through a murderous crowd at Nazareth. The power of God was with him, surrounded him, shielded him, so they couldn't touch him. He went over, not under, because God was with him. And it's the presence of God with you that will give you the victory. And I also noticed the spirit of victory with the word of God. He didn't say, let's try and go over to the other side. He says, we will go over to the other side. God has spoken. That settles the matter. There's no room for doubt. We're going over, not under. God speaks the end result, and it came to pass, as you'll see in chapter 5. But that doesn't mean there won't be problems or opposition. Well, in Mark 4, it goes on and says, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other boats also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. You see, Satan knew what was going to happen on the other side. He opposed and resisted the word of God coming to pass. So suddenly and supernaturally, a life-threatening storm of wind arose. And so sometimes God's word to you will be opposed by the enemy. And so as you begin to obey God, suddenly spiritual forces will come to resist your progress. And Satan's aim is to try and get you to let go of God's word to you, forgetting it. Remember, God said, we're going to the other side. And Satan tries to get you out of that place of faith and peace and victory through trusting his word. Instead, he wants to pull you over into the flesh where you trust in yourself. And then doubt and fear and failure will dominate your thoughts. He tries to move you out of the spirit of victory, where you abide assured of the promised end result that God promised, into a spirit of fear and defeat, where you expect the worst. He tries to get you to think you're going under, not over. But if you hold on to God's word that promises that you're going over, you will find that God's more powerful than any storm. Remember, any command that God gives you is also a promise that he will empower you to obey him, and that God will produce the intended fruit and fulfill that purpose of that command through your obedience. One key in keeping the word uppermost in our heart and mind when we're under attack is to declare it, proclaim it, confess it with our mouth. This protects our heart against unbelief getting in, and it causes us, to keep our faith in God's word. And so it says in Revelation 12, they overcame him, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the one trying to say to you, you're going under, you're a sinner, God won't help you. He says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we are to testify and confess what the word of God says that we have through the blood of Jesus, namely total victory over all the forces of the enemy. That's how Jesus beat the devil again and again, saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. He just quoted it and the devil had no answer to that. Notice in this story that the wind spiritual attack works on two levels. First of all, it says a great windstorm arose. That's the wind. And secondly, as a result of this wind, the waves beat into the boat. Yes, so first there are the visible waves, which is obvious, the problems in our circumstances. And we tend to think these are our real problems. But the physical waves were actually just the manifestation of the wind, the invisible wind, which represents the invisible spiritual forces at work. So the real cause of the stormy waves was the gusty wind. So there's the spiritual and there's the natural. And in the case of a spiritual attack causes the natural problems. And this wind kept driving the water against the ship and into the ship. And that was the root cause of the problem, which is why Jesus dealt with the wind first. The Greek word for wind is pneuma. It's the same word as for spirit. And so the Bible talks about evil winds and the working of evil spiritual powers, especially through false doctrines. Now, this storm is described as a storm of wind, and the waves were just the manifestation or the symptom of the invisible action of the wind. Now, of course, a lot of the problems in our life are purely natural. When something goes wrong, your car breaks down, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a demon causing that. However, spiritual attacks are real. There are spiritual attacks, and they are particularly real when you are endeavoring to move forward in God's will for your life and to do the work of God. And these spiritual attacks must be dealt with, that because if Jesus would have just tried to shush the waves, even that would have been temporary, because if the wind is still going, it would have stirred up the waves even more. And by the way, you might be thinking, well, I won't try and move forward in God's will. I'll avoid the spiritual attack. Well, if you're not moving forward in God's will, the devil doesn't need to attack you, because he's already got you where he wants you, in passivity. You're already his sitting duck. So there is only one thing to do, is move forward in God. If you are alert, you'll know when it's a spiritual attack. And if you're not sure, ask God. He'll show it to you. If the attack will come to try and stop you trusting and obeying God, and then if that's the case, it doesn't take a genius to realize there's a spiritual dimension to this. Now, the disciples, sadly, show us the wrong way to react, because later Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?" Or, "Where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they did have faith in their heart because they'd received his word, but the faith was not on display. Their faith was too weak to show itself in their actions and their responses under the pressure and the test. Their little faith was revealed in the test because the problem so overwhelmed them in unbelief and fear that they lost their focus on God's word. And God's word in their heart was their connection to God's power and victory. And as a result, they began to sink. The boat went under. Although they did have faith, they acted as if they had no faith in God's promise and power. So notice it says, a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. The boat was covered with the waves. The windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and they were in jeopardy, in great danger. Now the carnal disciples just saw it as a natural problem. They were focused on the symptoms, the water filling the ship, which were real, but not on the cause, the wind. And so their answer was to desperately try and bail out the water, threatening to sink their ship. This immediate danger presented itself to their senses, and it pulled their attention off God's word, so they forgot it. And they forgot that Jesus was in the boat with them. They fell to pieces. Fear struck their heart like a dagger. They knew they were in mortal danger. Their natural reasoning told them they wouldn't survive. They tried to attack the problem in their own strength, without reference to Jesus or his word, but they failed, because as long as the real cause wasn't being dealt with, the problem would only get worse. The wind would just keep stirring up the waters, driving the waves into the boat. So they were fighting a losing battle. They felt hopeless. Focusing on the natural problem rather than the presence of Christ with them and his word that he'd given them caused them to move into unbelief and then panic. And so we see in verse 38, it says that Jesus was in the stern asleep on the pillow. He was resting in the promise that God had given them that he's going over. And so they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Now here they showed a little faith because they did call on Jesus and he did answer, but they allowed the circumstances to cause doubt in their heart about whether he really cared for them, whether he really loved them. Of course he does. And he proved that by saving their lives. But he wants us to believe and trust in his love. Whatever's happening around us, that's real faith. That's what he's looking for. So he was disappointed in them because they forgot his word to them. So that's why he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" They could have shown a greater faith by reminding him of his word, returning his word to him. "Jesus, you told us we were going over, not under. Now we're calling on you and we're trusting you to perform your word." And in the same way, God says about his word, it which will not return to him void. When we return his word to him, it will prosper in the thing for which he sent it, and it will accomplish what he pleases. The highest level of faith would be to do what Jesus did and operate in the authority that believers possess when we have received and submitted to God's word, because when you're under authority, you can operate in authority. And Jesus did that by commanding the storm to cease, because the storm was in contradiction to God's word. So he took authority over the storm. It says in verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Notice the order. First he rebuked the wind, then he spoke to the sea, "Peace, be still." And notice the order. And first the wind ceased, and second there was a great calm of the sea. Jesus dealt with the wind and the waves in that order. At first the spiritual and then the natural. This was a double command and a double miracle. First the wind ceased immediately upon his first command, and then the sea stopped immediately on his second command. And normally it would take a period of time to actually settle down after the wind stopped, but it stopped immediately. So notice the order. First, he identified and dealt with the invisible spiritual cause, the wind, by commanding it to cease. And when he used this word to rebuke the wind, it's the same word used for when he rebuked evil spirits, because he took authority over the satanic spirit behind the storm, trying to stop him and his mission. And so when you've identified a negative demonic power coming against you, you can come against it in the name of Jesus and rebuke it and bind it and break its power and command it to cease in its operation against you. And then, once he had dealt with the root spiritual cause, he then addressed the natural problem that it had created. And he spoke peace to the natural situation, saying, "Be still," or "Shh." Notice he didn't rebuke the waves. Rather, he spoke and released the positive power of God into the natural situation to restore peace and equilibrium, now that the evil forces had been bound. So you bind the enemy, like sickness, and then you speak blessing, peace, healing, for example, to your body. Whatever spirit Satan is trying to impose, we respond in the opposite spirit and restore everything to God's will. This is easy once you have first broken Satan's power. So we've been given the keys of the kingdom to bind the enemy's power and to loose the power of God. That's what Jesus said, "I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind in earth will be bound, having been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed, having been loosed in heaven." So if we're under spiritual attack, we should deal with both the wind and the waves in that order. Rebuke the wind first, the spiritual forces that are invisible, and then we speak peace to the waves, to the natural situation. Praise God. And that's the faith that Jesus wants to see in us, is that first of all, we should rest like Jesus. Once we've received the word, we rest in it. We trust in that word that we are going over to the other side. And even if there's a storm, our faith doesn't waver from that, because we know that God's word is true. And we would then declare the word in the storm: "I am going over, not going under." Faith doesn't deny the problem. It doesn't pretend there isn't a storm, but it confronts the problem, and it says, "I command you to be bound, to cease in your operation against me. You've come against the cause of the problem." Now, the disciples hadn't seen that kind of faith before, so they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" And the answer, of course, is he's the second Adam. He is the head of a new kind of breed of mankind, created in his image, who was totally submitted to his Father God. And he came and he overcame every sickness that came across his path, every demon. Even the elements obeyed him. Then on the cross, he took on our sin, and he took on our sickness and every curse, and he took on death itself. He took on the demonic powers, and he triumphed over them, and he rose from the dead, praise God, and ascended on high, far above all principalities and powers. He's overcome all things. And when we received him as our Lord, praise God, we were put in Christ, and Christ came into us, so that now in Christ we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The overcomer lives in us, and therefore we are of his spirit, and he wants us to be like him. And so in Christ, we can operate in the same spirit of faith, authority, and victory to accomplish God's will and overcome the winds and the waves of life, saying with Jesus, "I am going over, not under. I'm not operating under circumstances, but over the circumstances." Praise God. Well, there's a second miracle that demonstrates how to walk in victory, and that's Jesus walking in the water. And it says in John chapter 6, that again, they got into a boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark and Jesus hadn't come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. Again, the same idea. When they had rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water, drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." And then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. You know, Jesus here demonstrates the walk of faith and victory, overcoming in life by the power of God. See, in the natural, he would go under the water because of the force of gravity. But by faith, he went over the water, being upheld by God's invisible power. And the key was that he would have received a word from God to go over the water to the disciples. He wasn't actually walking on the water because it wasn't harder under his feet. He was walking on God's word and his spirit. And as he acted by faith in God's word, the invisible power of God was released to hold him up so he didn't go over under. And this is a picture of our walk of faith. As we trust in God's word and walk on it, the invisible power of God will hold us up. And we will go over our circumstances and not under. We don't walk on our circumstances. We don't trust in our circumstances or our understanding or anything in the natural to hold us up, because they're all weak like water is. But we lean on the word of God, and his power holds us up. And of course, the confirmation that this is given as an example for us to walk in victory is that not just Jesus, but Peter was also able to walk on the water by faith. Because Matthew tells us that, in fact, that when Jesus appeared, he said to them, "Don't be afraid." And then Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to go out to you on the water." Peter knew that if he was to walk on water, he had to receive Christ's word. Otherwise, he wouldn't know it was God's will, and he wouldn't be able to receive God's power to do it. You have to know it's God's will. But if he had God's word, then he could trust in his power to uphold him, and then he could step out in faith, knowing God would uphold him and give him the victory. And Peter is our great example to us, because unlike the other disciples, he was willing to step out and trust God's word and put it into action, and walk on the water victoriously, even in the midst of a storm. Well, Jesus gave him the word. Jesus said, "Come." That was one word, was enough for Peter to walk on. You know, we got the whole Bible, but Peter just had one word, but it was enough. And when Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And notice the two keys for Jesus to walk, for Peter to walk in victory, were first of all looking to Jesus. He was walking toward Jesus, and secondly, trusting in his word. And while he focused on Jesus, loving and trusting him, he had assurance in his heart, and the grace and power of God upheld him, so he didn't sink. And there are these two aspects to walking in victory over our circumstances, over the storm and the wind and the waves. First of all, we need victory over these outward things. But the greater victory that we have is a victory over sin, the sin nature in our flesh. That's the greatest victory that is actually in us, in our flesh. And so this is a picture of overcoming that, because in this picture, the force of gravity pulling Peter down represents sin in the flesh that pulls us down. And it's always acting in that way. That's why it's called the law of sin and death. And it can only be overcome by a far greater power that's also continually available to us to lift us up, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when we focus on Christ, the law of the Spirit of life is activated in us and upholds us and keeps us from falling into sin and going under. God's grace is easily strong enough to give us the victory over the law of sin and death. But when our mind focus turns onto ourselves and our own life and our own ability, the sin nature prevails and we start to sink. And that's exactly what Romans 8 says. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, it's like a plane taking off. How is that possible? There's so much downward weight on that plane. But as soon as the law of lift comes into action, the lift overcomes the law of sin and death. And so while we trust in the Holy Spirit to lift us up, he is easily strong enough to overcome the law of sin and death, the gravity. But sadly, Peter lost it, because it says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. You know, the wind and waves were only a secondary threat. That's our natural situations and circumstances. Their main power over us, as with Peter, is in their ability to distract us and tempt us to take our eyes off Christ, and so disconnect ourselves from his grace. If we don't look to Christ, we'll start to sink under the power of sin. Whether it's calm or whether there are storms, you know, that doesn't affect the power of God. Our focus must be on Christ as our Lord. Whatever's happening around us, his power is greater, and we'll be able to go over and not under. As soon as Peter moved his main focus from Jesus to the natural wind and waves that claimed his attention, that allowed unbelief to enter his heart, and then he disconnected from God's power and he began to sink. You see, it says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he began to sink gradually because as the unbelief came into his heart. And you know, we have, God's given us a primary vision. We can see in detail what's in front of us, and we have a peripheral vision of things to the side. And God designed it, our spiritual vision, the same way. Whatever our main vision is, we focus on Christ, then that's our main preoccupation. Now, we're also aware of the natural things in our life that go around us, but we don't let them dominate us. We keep our focus on Christ and his word, and then we will go over and not under. But as soon as we turn our head and our main focus is on all the natural things going on, Jesus now fades out and we lose our focus on him. And as a result, unbelief comes into our heart and we begin to get that sinking feeling. So we need to learn what Peter did was awesome. He stepped out of the boat, he walked on the water, but then because he had little faith, he allowed himself to get distracted by the outward problems. And remember, keep your heart on Jesus and keep his word in your heart, and you will go over and not under. Amen.
Join with us at Oxford Bible Church every Sunday at 11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time for our live stream service, or join us at Cheney School, Headington, Oxford, 0X37QH. You can watch more of our teachings on our Roku channel and Derek Walker's YouTube channel. All Derek Walker's books are available in printed and Kindle versions in all Amazons worldwide, or online with other great products, where you can also support our programmes at www.oxfordbiblechurch.co.uk or by calling 01865 515 086.